These are features of the modern drug testing system, which actually work for industry profits and against the development of safe drugs that improve health. That, too, is a quote. Page 595. Articles that present the conclusions of commercially funded drug trials are at least 2.5 times more likely to favor the sponsor's drug than are the conclusions in articles discussing non-commercially funded trials. Oh, here I go again. My break-in. Gee, if it's commercially funded, it's 2.5 times more likely to favor the drug than if it's not commercially funded. Imagine that. Back to the quotes. Companies are much less likely to publish negative results. And they have threatened researchers who break the code of secrecy. And confidentiality about these negative results. Positive results are sometimes published twice or even more often under different guises. This bias is a method of statistically combining the results and clinical guidelines used for prescribing. The result is, and this is the phrase from the people who wrote this, the result is a massive distortion of the clinical evidence. For decades, the FDA has kept silent about these practices. That's a quote, folks. For decades, the FDA has kept silent about these practices and about the discrepancies between the data submitted to the FDA by companies and the findings published in journal articles, to the detriment of patients, but much to the benefit of the companies. Page 596. After approval, aggressive marketing of new drugs to doctors for both approved and unapproved uses, before good safety information is available, maximizes the number of patients exposed to risks from the 25 to 40 new molecular entities approved annually. Field studies find that most drug representatives, do not discuss adverse side effects. Everyone, I did not make this up. This is from the Journal of Law, Medicine, and Ethics. Now, page 597, a 15-month investigation by the Committee on Government Reform of the U.S. House of Representatives found a growing laxity in FDA's surveillance and enforcement procedures, a dangerous decline in regulatory vigilance, and an obvious unwillingness to move forward even on claims from its own field offices. The resulting 2006 report also documented a 53.7% decline in warning letters. Since then, FDA leadership has shifted to talking about being a partner with industry to get more drugs to patients more quickly. Yes, I'm still quoting. For the reasons we explained above, the proportion of new products with clinical advantages seem to have moved from about 1 in 8 down to 1 in 12. I'll break in here to say, what about those other 11? They're approved anyway, right? Yeah, even if they have serious side effects. Okay, back to the direct quotes. While the proportion with serious harms has gone up from 1 in 5 to 1 in 3, the proportion with serious harms has gone up from 1 in 5 to 1 in 3 as the number of drugs given priority status increases. Okay, from the last few pages, 597, 598, 599, 600, they contain 85 reference citations backing up every assertion made by the authors of this article. I hope you have that pen or pencil to record where to go online to download the entire article to your own computer. Into the search engine, put the words, institutional corruption of pharmaceuticals. That's institutional corruption of pharmaceuticals. One more time, institutional corruption of pharmaceuticals into your search engine. When I did that yesterday, the third entry on the first Google page was a downloadable for free PDF of the entire article. That's what was available for free. You can get the whole article if you care to make sure I've quoted them properly. I realize this introduction is a departure from the usual opening degree in medicine. We'll get back to more regular ones next week. But the article describes with footnote documentation, what did I quote here, 85 reference citations, the largest problem in American health care. No wonder this even safe, effective natural medicine has been attacked by FDA for most of the 20th century and so far all of the 21st century. No wonder so-called health care, at least the patent medicine version, is so expensive, with patent medicine companies charging as much as $1,000 a pill for new drugs. Folks, this is a racket. And until this racket ends, true health care will continue to be attacked and suppressed. Now, this has been in this Journal of Law, Medicine, and Ethics since fall 2013. There was a congressional investigation, as you heard here, and it didn't do any good. Let me give you an example, just an example, and I'll shut up on this topic. This is an example. This is not a quote. The New England Compounding Pharmacy, after having received warning letters, but nothing else, over a six-year period of time from Los Federales at FDA, continued to send out mold-contaminated prescriptions, which injured something like 70 or 80 people around the country. I'm not sure how many, but a bunch. So what did FDA do? Did they take responsibility for the fact that they didn't shut the place down after they'd warned them time after time for 6 years? No, they didn't. Instead, they asked the Congress to pass, and the Congress actually did it, a law putting all kinds of restrictions on all the other compounding pharmacies, as well as the New England Pharmacy, when it is well known. And I have somewhere in the computer filed from a commentator who knew his stuff that the fault lay with Los Federales for not enforcing their own regulations. Let's see. Here's that quote from page 597. A growing laxity in FDA's surveillance and enforcement procedures. Oh, that's from an investigation by a Committee on Government Reform. And yet, despite that laxity, and despite the fact that they could have shut the problem down before it occurred, oh no, they get to put more and more restrictions on compounding pharmacies through something called the Quality and Safety Act or something like that. And so the price of a vial of vitamin B12 has gone up from $30 to $90 since that time. It's a scam. It's a racket. And perhaps if you read this article from the Journal of Law, Medicine, and Ethics, you'll have quite a bit more hesitation before you subject yourself to that system of health care. The one, quote, approved, unquote, by Los Federales. As far back as 1953, folks, another thing to put in your computer search engine, just put in Fitzgerald Report, 1953. Fitzgerald Report, 1953. It's from the Congressional Record. And it tells us about collusion in 1953 and before between the pharmaceutical industry and Los Federales. That's why we don't have cures for cancer, folks. Because, and by the way, that 1953 report was stimulated by that, by Los Federales wiping out yet another safe cure for cancer. We gotta support that patent medicine industry, those pharmaceutical people. You come up with a natural cure, particularly if it's a cancer, you're likely to have all of your equipment smashed with sledgehammers, as did Dr. Ruth Drown, who was curing cancer. I did say curing cancer, by the means invented by Royal Rife. Okay, I'll shut up about that. This was all, except for the comments I threw in, and I let you know what they were, published in the Journal of Law, Medicine, and Ethics in fall 2013. This is nothing new, and it got no publicity. And just in case you hadn't heard about it, well, there you are. And please put that in your search engine, Institutional Corruption of Pharmaceuticals, and read the whole thing.